the, here comes the, here comes the, y'all don't really want it like that, yeah. Here comes the, no, here comes the, oh, here comes the, y'all don't.
And what is going on, sleepers? We are live. You are looking at three of the sexiest beasts in the Sleeper Wire Network. I am at BFTG Pod. With me, as you can see on the screen in the center there, Dirty Jobs 21. And of course, the ever good looking, the male model himself, Steve Spacertelli, a.k.a. Stevie Stacks, a.k.a. SPAC 21. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Marvelous.
I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking at the screen, and what my mic is doing right now is something fierce.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out that's like R2-D2 there. What the hell's going on?
Right, and it looks like it's on fire for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty sweet. I ain't going to lie. That's pretty badass there, Mike.
Huh.
So
it's magic.
If you're following along with the Sleeper Wire Network, this is something new that we are starting this year. We are going to be doing a lot of these live shows where we broadcast on Facebook Live, where we broadcast on YouTube, and we also broadcast on Periscope. To start, there's going to be a learning curve for all of us, but I think we will get through it. And as always, the content will always be top notch. So with that said, what we are doing tonight is just a little recap on the NFL season thus far. I know a lot of people who aren't really in the dynasty, they don't really pay a whole lot of attention during the offseason. So we're going to go over everything that occurred so far up to date in the offseason, all the big names that have been traded, all the big name signings. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go into just some guys that, you know, according to ESPN's ownership percentage is we value as too low, and they should be owned across more teams. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's some guys that should definitely be on your roster now. This way you don't have to spend that very valuable fab or those high waiver picks to get these guys on your team after week one. So with that said, I'm going to throw it to Mike to start. Mike, why don't you go over just the first four or five of the new faces in new places from this offseason?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we've got like some real big ones this year. There's a lot of ones that made you kind of scratch your head and go, man, what was that guy thinking? And including the one of the guys that I'm going to talk about here. We got Tom Brady signing with Tampa. We got him taking away with him Rob Gronkowski. And wow, you know, like to see Rob Gronkowski come out of retirement and go to Tampa Bay to get the rock slung by him by Tom Brady again, that's pretty awesome right there. I'm pretty excited. I don't know what to expect there, but it's going to be neat. Either way, you know, is it Tom Brady? Is he the best, or was he just a product of the best system ever? And will that best system continue to win without Tom Brady? There's just so many things that happened there, so many questions that came up because of that. Next up was DeAndre Hopkins traded to Arizona Cardinals for a song. I mean, that was nothing to get. It was like they wanted to get rid of the best receiver in history. And so they got rid of him, and I still can't believe that he's a Cardinal. In that trade, David Johnson went to the Houston Texans, which makes a little bit of sense. I feel like David Johnson could probably see a bit of a resurgence there in Houston. I've got him in a couple of leagues. I didn't grab him too heavy because he's got a little bit of a high price tag. And then my boy Josh Allen got a target with Stephon Diggs. He was traded to the Bills from Minnesota. That was another messy deal there. There was a lot of trash talking going on about that. But, hey, we got Stephon Diggs. So I'm pretty excited about a lot of those moves right there. A lot of those just really fun, man. It's going to make for an interesting football season.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah, man. I mean, you go after. Nope. Go ahead, George.
Go ahead, Steve. Nope. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
No, that's fine. I was just going to keep going down the list. But, you know, you're about to bring up Tom Brady. Like, that whole thing, it's like a dream team over there, realistically, especially with the whole addition with Fournette. And you got Arians coming out today talking about he picked up the system really quick. There's no doubt that he's going to have a heavy role right from the start. Gronk comes out of retirement, all that good stuff. And just the whole Hopkins, David Johnson, Stephon Diggs situation. I really want to see how all that plays out. David Johnson, we'll see. Stephon Diggs, we'll see about that. I'm a little higher on Hopkins than those guys. I don't know about you, George. What do you say?
Yeah, I think the whole Tom Brady switching to Tampa, just not only does it shake up the whole AFC, but it kind of shakes up the NFC. It seems like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now the team that the Patriots used to be, where every single free agent either wants to come out of retirement to play in Tampa with Brady, or if they get cut from their team, they want to go to play in Tampa with Brady. So it seems like Tampa Bay is getting all the free agents right now. And that's good for Tampa. I mean, if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, obviously you should clearly be excited. DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals, that was huge. Couldn't believe that when it happened. I think that's probably one of the – outside of Brady going, I think DeAndre Hopkins going is probably the second largest move of any player the last couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah.
So why don't you go from there? Why don't you go ahead? Mike talked about Stephon Diggs a little bit going to Buffalo. Why don't you pick up where he left off and start with Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, that's cool. So Melvin Gordon going to the Broncos really kind of, I think, hurt some Philip Lindsay truthers feelings there. And I know it killed any hope that I had for Royce Freeman. I mean, basically the way Freeman played last year killed it for me. But I anticipate Melvin Gordon going there and actually putting up some solid numbers. He's a hammer that they're going to need in that offense. He is a better receiving back, in my opinion, than Philip Lindsay. He's better in pass pro and all that stuff. So I think he's going to have a more prominent role with the young quarterback. Not so great offensive line. I mean, they're not terrible. I'd say they're middle of the pack. And then you got a young receiver crew. You know, then you look at Todd Gurley, the next guy in line going over to Atlanta. You know, we know the years that Gurley had with the Rams and then the problems with his knee. You know, he still saw enough touches last year, and the fact that they released him, obviously, you know, the Rams, they were just in cap hell, and I think they still are, actually. And Gurley going over to a high-powered offense, I mean, realistically, I think this is a guy that's going to get, you know, 200 to 250 touches, and you can draft him as your RB3, RB4. I know I got him as my RB4 and Scott Fish, and I'm not upset with that whatsoever. You know, and then you look at Brandon Cooks going over to Houston Texans, which was kind of funny because before all that happened, you know, the big move was pulling Randall Cobb in there after they traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. So, you know, they definitely needed something big there. And then Robbie Anderson moving over to Carolina. You know, if you guys listen to the On Beat shows that I do, I just did one recently with Antoine Staley. He's a beat writer there. Kind of talked to him about all that because I wasn't really sure how this is going to work out with Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel. I'm not worried about DJ Moore. I'm obviously not worried about the target volume for Christian McCaffrey. It's Anderson and Samuel is where I'm more interested in how that target share is going to work out. I mean, what do you see with all that, Mike?
You know, it's interesting to me as well as far as how that goes there. I mean, I think it's going to be I mean, a fair share going across the board, but I just don't really feel like he fits in with that system as well as like the other guys do, you know, I mean, and plus you got the, you know, Bridgewater that likes to dink and dunk. I don't know. I mean, he seems like a speedster. He seems like a get outside, get done. I just don't like it. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it made sense for the team that they're trying to become right here. I like C-Mac short. I like the tight end, you know, Ian Thomas, you know, people like that on the team a lot more.
Yeah, Ian Thomas, he's hurt right now. But Robbie Anderson's an underrated route runner, man. Dude, don't underestimate that guy. This might be an opportunity for them to really use Curtis Samuel as kind of that gadget guy.
And know? Really, for me, it's not really Robbie Anderson that I have, that I don't have faith in. It's the ability of Teddy Bridgewater to get him the ball that I'm worried right. about. That's the thing that I'm worried about there. I love Robbie Anderson. I think he's a fantastic talent. I just, it just, like I said, it doesn't seem like he's going to be, he's like the jet, you know, and it doesn't seem like Teddy Bridgewater likes to hit that deep guy very much. So,
yeah, I really want to see Teddy Bridgewater bounce back. Guy had a promising start until he shredded his knee. So I definitely want to see him bounce back.
Yeah. Speaking of Scott Fish, he's my Scott Fish quarterback. So.
Nice. Nice. George, man, why don't you kick it with Perriman?
Yeah, I will. But I do want to say, if you are watching live right now, if you are on the YouTube, if you are on the Periscope or the Facebook live stream, you can actually ask us questions. We can pin them live here on the show, and we can actually answer your questions live on the air. So if you are watching at home right now and you have a question for us, please feel free to ask the question on whichever platform you're currently watching it on, and we're more than happy to get to your question. With that said, Rashard Perriman, he signed with the New York Jets. I actually like this signing with the for Perriman. We've seen him come on at the end of last year in Tampa when there was absolutely nothing left in Tampa. He, you know, he literally won people three straight weeks. He was a definite playoff waiver pickup that just crushed. Jordan Howard goes to Miami. I mean, any running back in Miami would have been an upgrade over what we had there last year. Yeah. I mean, literally any running back with a pulse would have been an upgrade. I do like Jordan Howard a lot in Miami. He's going to get a heck of an opportunity to be the lead ball carrier. They also signed Matt Breida, who we'll discuss a little bit later. But, I mean, he's going to have all the opportunity in the world. People forget, you know, he's had a couple thousand-yard seasons under his belt, so it's not like he's a bad signing. Austin Hooper signs with the Cleveland Browns. I'm lukewarm on this. I think that there's way too many, you know, there's way too many players there that need the ball and not enough footballs to go around. I'm not as big as an Austin Hooper fan as I was when he was in Atlanta, but for the actual football team for the Browns, you know, that's a good signing for them. And another one I found very intriguing, and I would like to get your opinion on this, Mike, is Philip Rivers to the Colts. What do you think about Philip Rivers signing with the Colts?
I think that's a really good move for both of the player and the team. I think that that'll do good for Indianapolis. I think Jacoby Brissett, he's a good football player. He just doesn't have that, you know, leadership ability. And I think that Philip Rivers might actually be on one of the best teams he's ever been on right now, considering, like, he's got Jonathan Taylor running behind him, Marlon Mack. Naheem Hines, I mean, that's a hell of a backfield alone right there. And then you got T.Y. Hilton. I mean, come on now. Jack Doyle, you've got all kinds of weapons for him to use. And I don't know. I think he's got a better line. I think he's got an improved situation. I think he's got an improved schedule. There's a lot of things I like about Philip Rivers. And the fact that they're only giving him a little bit of time to get it done, I like that too. I think he's the kind of guy that does better under pressure for things like this. So I thought this was a really good move. I thought that was a big one for me.
Yeah, Fallon would disagree with everything you just said. I just want to.
Yeah, she only looks at things through Broncos' eyes. That's how you got to be. You got to put that away when you want to be an analyst.
Yeah. All right. So we left off with Hayden Hurst going to Atlanta. Steve, why don't you pick it up there?
I actually love that. I like Hayden Hurst better in Atlanta than I do Austin Hooper. And I love Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
But I do not like his situation. Just everything in general about that team. I do not like him there. I think he's going to play a more prominent role as a blocker with Stefanski there. And you have Chubb and you have Kareem Hunt there. Obviously, he's a skilled receiving tight end as well. However, so is Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst goes over to a high-powered offense, and he's playing under Dirk Koetter as the OC, who has a huge history of utilizing the tight end. Everybody saw that with Austin Hooper. You can go back to Tony Gonzalez years. You know, you can go back to all look at the history of tight ends that have worked under Dirk Koetter. These guys are going to get involved. So I absolutely love the athletic ability and receiving ability of Hayden Hurst in that system. I don't care that Julio Jones is there. I do not care that Calvin Ridley is there. These guys are all going to see volume.
Not only that, but the defense is so bad. Like, they're just going to be in shootouts almost every week. I mean, look at the division they're in. I mean, that alone is going to lead to shootouts.
I don't think they're horrible. I think it's more or less the division. There's a lot of firepower in that division. Yeah. The Saints, the Falcons. I mean, you can
– Bucks.
The Bucks. I was just going to say, you know, kind of with the Panthers, but, you know, they might even still be involved too. So there is a lot of firepower. There's going to be shootouts with these teams. Saints have the best defense, though, I think.
Oh, of course.
That's right, what I'm picking up in every league right now is the Saints defense. Like where I have to pick up a defense, I'm getting the Saints defense.
So while you're listening to this pre-week one waiver wire show, if Saints defense are out there, go get them.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
For sure. For sure, go get them. Last couple guys to go over real quick. Emmanuel Sanders signs with the aforementioned New Orleans Saints. Just seems like the rich are getting richer there. Drew Brees finally has a true number two wide receiver. Teddy Bridgewater, who was with the Saints, left and signed with the Carolina Panthers. I'm actually pulling for Teddy Bridgewater. I hope nothing but good things come for him. He suffered a terrible knee injury to start his career. He's been trying to work his way back. He looked pretty solid last year in New Orleans when he came in to cover for Drew Brees, who was out. So I'm hoping Bridgewater can actually remain healthy, pull together, and live up to some of the potential that he had coming out of college. Eric Ebron signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And last but not least, I don't know how fantasy relevant it is, but Jimmy Graham is one of 20 tight ends that signed with the Chicago Bears this offseason.
Yay. Golf clap.
Golf clap, yay. I do like the Eric Ebron signing in Pittsburgh, though. Like, I think – I for real think Eric Ebron's going to have a decent season. I think he's going to have plenty of touchdown opportunities. It's kind of like the way he was used in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck when he was there. I think he's not going to get you a whole lot in between the 20s, but when he gets down into the red zone, like he's going to be a big body for Big Ben.
A lot of it is how is what schemes they're running to, because they mix it up. They actually mixed it up a lot more last year, whether they run 11 personnel, 12 personnel. You know, there's going to be situations, even with the times that you're going to have a healthy Vance McDonald, that both of these guys are going to be on the field and more prominent in the red zone. I think you're going to see in the red zone a lot of, obviously, Juju. I'm big on Deontay Johnson more than James Washington. I want to see how Chase Claypool, you know, filters in too, because he is a big target and he's a talented guy. But, you know, Ebron's going to be a part of that as well.
I feel like Ebron's going to be huge. Like, I mean, Big Ben loves hitting that tight end position, and he's just never really had a decent tight end to sling the ball to. I mean, really, in his whole career, I mean, he's had a couple of guys that kind of like flash for a minute, like Jesse James and stuff like that. But I feel like
McDonald was supposed to be that guy.
What's that?
Yes, McDonald was supposed to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
He was supposed to be that guy in San Francisco, too.
Yeah, he can't get on the field long enough to be that guy. Eric Ebron, I think, is going to be really big. I think that's a huge pick is Eric Ebron for the Steelers. I think that's a guy that I like to have a lot of. I have about 10 shares of him.
Yeah, I just did a 16-team draft last night, and I think Eric Ebron went in like the 12th or 13th round. So he's somebody that's out there that is – you know, super disrespected as far as where he's going in drafts right now.
Hey, our pro am with tight end premium. I have Mark Andrews, I have Jack Doyle, and I have Eric Ebron. So
nice.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. So that wraps up the offseason. The only thing we didn't mention really was the NFL draft itself that happened this offseason. They didn't do it live, they did it electronically, and I think it was actually better than the live draft. I was highly impressed with the way the NFL did that. I seen a stat today regarding COVID-19. The NFL has had something like 17,500 tests done, and only one person has actually tested positive for COVID-19. So if you're out there and you're worried, that's
replacement.
Yeah. We'll get to him in a minute. If you're out there and you're wondering, like, you know, the odds of the NFL actually having a complete season because of COVID-19, I think you can set those fears aside for the time being. Because the amount of people who are actually getting this has been very, 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 very low as far as testing positive goes. So with that, let's just move right into some of the key signings that have happened this offseason. Some guys getting a bunch of tags here. Derrick Henry was franchise tagged by the Titans. That's a huge move for the Titans. I didn't follow up when I looked this up, but I thought he signed a contract. Is he still just franchise tagged, or did he actually sign a contract?
I want to say he signed the extension. Let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, yeah, while you're looking it up, Amari Cooper re-signed with the Dallas Cowboys. Kenyon Drake got a transition tag by the Arizona Cardinals. I know for a fact he's on a one-year deal. AJ Green, he got franchise tagged by the Bengals. He is playing on the franchise tag this year.
Yeah, Derrick Henry was 4 years, $50 million.
Okay. I thought he
25 and actually, a half guaranteed.
Yeah, I thought he signed an actual contract, but like I said, when I was putting this together, I didn't follow it up.
Yeah.
AJ Green is playing on the franchise tag. He's come out and said he wants to re-sign with the Bengals this year or next year and retire there. I expect every player on every team to say that about the team they're currently on. Dak Prescott is still franchise tagged, which boggles my mind, by the Dallas Cowboys. They did not get a extension done with him, so he's playing on the franchise tag this year. Tennessee was also able to re-sign Ryan Tannehill, so he's locked up for the next couple of years. Joe Mixon recently re-signed as of a day or two ago. He re-signed with the Bengals, so he's got his second contract. He's locked up for the next couple of years. And as of today, DeAndre Hopkins re-signed for another 2 years, so he's not going anywhere in Arizona. He's going to be there for the next 4 to 5 years. I think they just added 2 years to the end of his current deal, so he's not going anywhere anytime soon as well.
And I think Alvin Kamara owners can start to take a breath, because I did see something come through earlier today that they are extremely close on a contract. And you know, realistically, we know the money that McCaffrey got. And then you look at, oh, don't mind Mike or Dirty Jobs dropping his mic over there. Is R2D Mike?
Mike drop.
But so anyways, yeah, you know, Joe Mixon and then Derrick Henry, I think, kind of set the bar. Obviously, Kamara wanted to shoot a little bit higher. We'll see what the final numbers come out to be. But obviously, in my opinion anyways, it's going to be between, because Mixon and Henry are about the same, so it's going to be between those two guys. And then you look at what Christian McCaffrey got, and then Dak Prescott franchise tag. If that dude comes out and throws 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, man, everybody thought Patrick Mahomes got paid a lot.
He's getting 10 years, $600 million.
It's gonna be crazy. The life of Patrick Mahomes right now. I'm not mad at him though. That's cool as hell, dude. He's a part owner of a baseball team now too.
I've always said these NFL players, their contracts should be 100% guaranteed. Like, they go out there, they put their bodies on the line, they put their health on the line. You know, just a wrong hit the wrong way, these guys could be paralyzed for life. Like, at that point, you know, if the teams wanted, they could just void the contract. So, no, the contract should be 100% guaranteed. Every penny is paid. You can't cut them early to save yourself money. If you do, you're paying them that money that's on the contract.
Look at Mahomes. He goes from a dislocated kneecap. That could have been a hell of a lot worse to winning the Super Bowl. So, thanks for having me.
So, all right, let's move into some of these guys. These are the waiver wire finds. This is what we're going to be doing on here on Tuesday nights, basically for the next 17 weeks, 18 weeks, however long the season is going to go. It could be 8 weeks, could be 18, could be 19. We'll be doing it in the playoffs. But these are just guys that, you know, I went through earlier and I was scrolling through looking for guys that I thought were criminally undervalued. These are guys that you could put on your team now, save yourself some fab money, save yourself some high waiver priority, get these guys somehow, some way on your team now. And then come next week, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to start off with the first one I put on my list was actually Mitchell Trubisky. And I hear everybody at home laughing at me right now saying, yeah, right. Dude is only 2.2% owned. I get that. In a single quarterback league, no problem, you know, not owning Mitchell Trubisky out the gate. But if you have, like, let's say you punted the quarterback and you're desperate for a quarterback, like Mitchell Trubisky has the best starting four games of anybody in the NFL. He gets the Lions, the Giants, the Falcons, and then the Colts. Like, those are great matchups for him. Last year against the Lions, he averaged 23.6 points a game in the two games that he played against the Lions. So while I completely understand it's Mitchell Trubisky, it's the Bears, you know, Mitchell Trubisky has played well against the Lions. The Giants' defense doesn't scare nobody. The Falcons, as I already said, I think their defense is atrocious. The Colts are a decent defense, but he's somebody that Trubisky could stream against the Colts in a pinch. If you got somebody, you know, going up against the 49ers, going up against the Saints, you know, these top-tier defenses, and you want to not risk it, you know, Trubisky's a guy you could go out and get and just ride with him the first couple of weeks, and I think you'd be okay. Another one I put on here is James Robinson. And before you ask me who that is, he is the starting running back right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their presumed starter is on the COVID list for the second time. Don't know when he's going to get off that list, but all reports coming out of Jacksonville right now is James Robinson has been hands down the best running back in camp. He's only 7.5% owned. He's somebody that week one, you could, you know, you could get him, put him on your bench. If he pops, you know, you've got yourself a solid starting running back and you didn't have to waste any fab or any high waiver priority on him. The last one I'm going to go over real quick is Matt Breida. And as we discussed earlier, Matt Breida with Jordan Howard, Matt Breida signed this offseason with Miami Dolphins. He's 75.6% owned according to ESPN. The Miami Dolphins passed it to the running backs 120 times in 2019. I don't think Jordan Howard's going to see anything more than maybe 20 pass attempts his way. In PPR leagues, Matt Breida is going to be a great flex for you. And I get, you know, he's highly owned at 75%. I think it should be in the high 80s, to be honest, in these leagues. So he's somebody you may want to check your waiver wire, see if he's there. If he is, he's definitely worth picking up and stashing.
I've been banging that drum, man.
He's a good running back. I mean, you're a 49ers fan, Steve. Tell us about a little bit about Matt Breida last year on the 49ers.
I mean, just in general, the guy, he's obviously very explosive. Yep. Once he gets loose, goodbye. So, and sure, he's dealt with some injury issues, but he also plays through a lot of them as well. He hasn't missed a ton of time. He has missed games here and there or whatever, but it's nothing really significant. And he's somebody that, you know, is a good receiving back and working out of the Shanahan system. It's different. And, you know, it's his own blocking scheme. You know, there's a lot of one cut, get up field, so on and so forth, but Matt Breida is going to bring this explosiveness and what Chan Gailey runs in Miami. I think he's going to be heavily utilized. Obviously when you know, you're in the red zone, the 10 zone, whatever, you're going to see a lot more Jordan Howard, but I think Breida between the 20s is going to be more involved than Jordan Howard will be, unless it's third and short. So he's a guy you definitely want to look at. Now, somebody who could potentially impact his targets is Lynn Bowden Jr., who they just traded for, the rookie that that the Raiders drafted.
Yeah.
So he just came over. So he's somebody that could potentially hurt that situation, but he's kind of a wide receiver running back mix, right? So Lynn Bowden's also a guy that can go on the field that can work out of the slot too. So there are some things to pay attention to, but man, I've been beating the drum on Matt Breida for a while. And this guy, I think, is going to have a pretty good year.
Yep. Mike, do you want to give us a couple more on this list?
Absolutely. Once I can pull that list back up, I tell you what.
This guy dropped R2-D2 and lost everything.
Right. Everything just went to crud. Sony Michel, 53.2%. We got Damian Harris. He's on the IR. They just signed J.J. Nelson from the practice squad. Man, Sony Michel is a good running back if he can stay healthy. And that's one thing that, I mean, at least he's starting out the year healthy. That's been one thing we haven't really seen out of Sony Michel. He usually gets dropped in the preseason or earlier. So I'm kind of excited to see what this guy can do if he can actually pull something off. They're going to need it. I really feel like they're going to be a huge gap in the system while losing Tom Brady, and just the consistency that he brought to the table, probably the locker room presence that he brought. J.D. McKissick, 0.9%. He's the starting running back in Washington today. So that might change by tomorrow. I don't even think Washington knows what's going on right now. They don't even know what their team name is. They're the Washington football team.
No, I mean, it's valid. It's very valid.
Baby steps. Yeah, I mean, so once they get a team name, then they'll start naming the starters on their team, I imagine. So we know McLaurin's starting. That's all that really matters over there in Washington right now. And Zach Moss, 77.1. Dude, if you don't have him and if he's available in your league, go get him right now. You know how much I love Devin Singletary, but Devin Singletary is a good accent back. He's like a good Deion Lewis. He's He's a good guy to come in on the backside. Zach Moss is a solid starter. He's a good one down back. He's a good three down back. I really like Zach Moss a lot. And the only guy I really like more than him, and he does have about a 4% more ownership, is Antonio Gibson, because I feel like he will be the real deal in Washington this year.
Yeah, they have J.D. McKissic listed as their starting running back. I don't know how much you want to trust depth chart, but I mean, J.D. McKissic, he's been around. He is a veteran. We know how they feel in Washington about, you know, starting the rookies. I don't think that's something that Ron Rivera's ever been too keen on. Excuse me. But I think by the week two, week three, it is definitely going to be Antonio Gibson. He should be a lot more than 81% owned. He's somebody that I've actually had to come around to. I was not very high on him to start the season. And as the season went along and Washington just started cutting players and players leaving and whatnot, it's just like you have to start believing what you're seeing, because there's really not anybody else there. There's Antonio Gibson, there's J.D. McKissic, there's Bryce Love. Not even sure if Bryce Love is fully healthy yet. So while they have McKissic listed as starter, I think Gibson is definitely going to be the guy there.
Yeah, and one thing as we're going through these names too, everybody, I want you guys to be mindful of is your waiver priority, even leading into week one, because somewhat to the point, somewhat to the point that George was just talking about is that don't pay too much attention to depth charts right now. You're going to have week one. We've had no camp. We've had no preseason. So you have rookies that have not really been able to be fully implemented into what's going on. And that's just an off season. Usually it takes rookies a while. And some of them, you get the random guys that hit it right off the bat. So things are going to change. And I think they're going to fluctuate fast. You're getting a lot of hype right now. You're getting all kinds of different things and situations throughout all of this. You're going to have injuries pop up as they always do in week one, two, and three, and it could be a little bit more prominent this year. So these names that we're bringing up, take a look at your roster construction. Take a look even further, because everything is going to change drastically, quickly. So be mindful of your waiver priority, or if you're in a fab system, whatever, early on in the season, because it's going to be an interesting first 6 weeks. And I'm always somebody that tries to get ahead of the game when it comes to waivers. And in a regular year, I always look at it takes a good 4 to 6 weeks before an offense is actually set, before you can truly look at a depth chart. And this is what this team is going to be the rest of the year, because you do have the early injuries. You do have different guys that get mixed in that don't necessarily have a solidified role, even though they are labeled a starter the first couple weeks.
And that's when you have a preseason.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I mean, it could be even later this year.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you want to hold on to that fab money as much as you can.
Yeah, these, like Steve said, these are just guys we're looking at that are, the ownership is low and they should be owned a lot more than what they are. And if you can get them now and stash them for free in the long run, we believe you'll be better off. Steve, I want you to go ahead, starting with LaVisca Chenault. Go ahead and do the next three, because the next three are three guys I really, really like.
Yeah, they're three guys I like too. Before I dive into this, though, look, I just saw this on the comments. It's from Marty. From Marty. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's Beamer Cleaner. Shout out to you, Beamer Cleaner. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
That's hilarious. He says, dirty, that's what you look like. Bad luck to you in the leagues we're in together. Good luck to you in the ones that we ain't in together. That's funny.
Man, so, that's, Marty, that's, I'm like, going to leave that right there on the screen for everybody to read for a while.
Oh, that's good stuff there. So LaVisca Chenault, this is saying he's 5.8% owned. Now, me, that's just mind-blowing to me. And if you followed any of the short episodes that I've done, and you know, the on-beat shows that I've done with John Shipley, one of the beat writers down there in Jacksonville, LaVisca Chenault, he's picking up the offense, and he's actually staying on the field. That's probably the biggest thing with him. And it was realistically 2 years ago, he missed significant time. He played most of the year last year, if not all of it, and played through some injuries, but he's back, he's full, he's healthy. He, in what's been going on this offseason, what we just talked about it a minute ago, he's still looking pretty good. This is a guy right here that if you look at this entire wide receiver group, Chris Conley right now, I think, is labeled the starter opposite of DJ Chark.
Yes.
Keelan Cole. Yeah, you have Keelan Cole. You have DD Westbrook. Now, look at how much those three names I just talked about, Conley, Westbrook, Cole, how much that has shifted around over the last couple seasons. You just lost Fournette. Chris Thompson is there now in the backfield. You have Armstead. We talked about James Robinson. So there's all these what ifs up in the airs. Laviska Shenault is a jack of all trades guy. He's a guy that you can run the ball. You can run Wildcat with him. You can run him in the slot. You can run him in the X. You can run him anywhere. It doesn't matter. You could put this guy anyways, built like a running back, and he is a solid wide receiver. He's a damn good route runner. He has good hands, can high point a ball well. He is somebody that's going to be a great complement to DJ Chark. And he's also somebody that I think can really work out of the backfield if they scheme him that way. So we'll see what they do, because we know that there's been talks about DJ Chark moving around the field too. They want to work him out of the slot. Having Shenault, I think they're going to be able to do that a little bit more, having an outside presence, because obviously the other three guys really haven't done much. They're all free agents after the end of this year anyways. You look at Alan Lazard. I love Lazard. I've been banging the drum on this guy. He's 25.5% owned. He is the number two wide receiver there. I don't care what anybody says. In my opinion, he's wide receiver two there. I mean, if you look at what he did after his coming out party, after week six last year, you know, this is a guy that in, you know, situations where they needed to pick up a first down, Aaron Rodgers just threw the damn ball to him. And I mean, he converted, it was like 16 or 17 out of 23 chances. So it's around 70%. And I don't know if that's even including fourth down situations, because they've had that as well. So this is a guy that saw 52 targets after week six. And we know the story about Aaron Rodgers and his trust of wide receivers. And he hasn't had a number two since he had Jordy Nelson with the young Davante Adams. And you look at the build of trust there with Adams. So Alan Lazard has been an interesting story, being undrafted, being where he is now, all this hype about him. You have guys like MVS, you have guys like Equanimeous St. Brown, who were actually drafted, that this guy is ahead of right now, and there is a reason for it. So again, 25.5% owned, that's criminal. He needs to be on your rosters. I'm not saying this guy's going to come out and be your wide receiver too, but this is a guy that you could easily play depending on your depth of your league or whatever, as your wide receiver three and or flex, especially during the bye weeks. So you need to get him on your rosters if he's out there. Preston Williams, 71.3% owned. He could easily finish as Miami's number one wide receiver. This is a note that George has there, and I agree with that. That just depends if he stays healthy. Obviously, we saw the ACL injury, and the pace that he was on. I really don't think Devontae Parker would have been Devontae Parker last year if you had a 16-game season out of Preston Williams. I do not see that by any means. I don't even know if you saw what you saw out of Mike Gesicki, if Preston Williams was around. And interesting that he's number two on the depth chart. I know that.
Don't read too much into that.
I'm drawing a blank on the gentleman's name right now that they're starting. Last name starts with a D, I believe. I can't remember. But anyways, I know he's more of a blocking tight end. He's going to fit into that scheme of what Miami wants to do. And I think they're going to filter Gesicki in more for passing situations. So, but again, we'll see how all that changes throughout the year. And that just goes back to my point of just be mindful of these first couple of weeks of what's going on.
Yeah. Back to Preston Williams. Like, I'm the Miami homer here. That's my team. Undrafted. My dog says hi. Undrafted free agent. Actually, I think he was drafted late. Some attitude issues and some potential criminal issues off the field, stuff that just plummeted his draft stock. But 32 receptions, 428 yards, three touchdowns coming out as a rookie. He only played, I think he played six or seven games. Like, that's great if you can get that from some rookies that go as undrafted as he did, or drafted as late as he did in their rookie years. Huge step forward coming this year, I believe, with Fitzpatrick and with Tua under center. I believe Fitzpatrick will start most of the year, and as the year goes on, Tua will eventually take over. But it would not surprise me to see Preston Williams have something like 87 receptions, you know, 1,100 yards and seven touchdowns. Like, that would just not shock me at all. The dude is that talented. I think he's a lot more talented than Devontae Parker. And I agree with the sentiment that Devontae Parker would not have happened if Preston Williams would have played the whole season, because Devontae Parker was not happening with Preston Williams on the field last year. So I don't think it just magically switches all of a sudden if Preston Williams would have played the whole year. Mike, do you want to pick up, start with Chris Conley, Chris Herndon, and Ian Thomas?
Absolutely, yeah. So Chris Conley, he's one of my favorite guys. I've got him on. That 1.7% might just be me. That might be just me and how many leagues I'm in.
That's dedication, baby.
That is. I mean, I just love Chris Conley. I have him in almost every single league I'm in because he's the guy that's going to be on the field. He's going to have volume. Just like you were saying with Chenault, you know, they're going to be down. They're going to be losing a lot. They're going to need to be passing the ball a lot. Now, the one thing about Conley that I do worry about is Chenault taking his job, which is a very high possibility. But that won't happen at the very beginning of the season. So ride him out a few weeks. Get what you can out of the guy. The next guy, Chris Herndon. I love Chris Herndon. He's awesome when he's on the field. That's another guy that's if he can stay out there, he's got a really good rapport with Darnold. Darnold loves throwing the ball to him. And so, I mean, especially in these TE premium leagues, seeing this guy at under 50% is crazy. But the next guy, Ian Thomas, good God, man, he's 2.9%. And this is on a team with Teddy Bridgewater, who loves the dink and dunk. So these are guys, those three guys just right there in a row. I mean, I can't believe that they have such low percentages. Chris Herndon, you know, getting near that 50% mark, but still, he should be a little bit more owned because he could easily, if he stays on the field, he could finish a tight end one, probably even a top eight, top six tight end. And then Hayden Hurst out there, 80.8%, which is look at what Austin Hooper did last year. That's going to be a good catalyst, a good kind of scope to look for what they were doing with the tight end position. And that guy was ripping the tight end number. He was going to be the tight end one until he got hurt. And so that knocked him down to, I believe, the tight end four or five for the end of the season. But still, I mean, that's perfect value. And this guy's still available in 20% of leagues. So and I want to go ahead and let Steve finish this off because I know he's passionate about this last one. But unless you guys have anything to add to those, but man, that's some tight end depth, man. Those are the positions we're dying at.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst definitely. Now, man, Dallas Goedert. This number makes me want to cry. It's 26.8% own. I don't know if it's just because people don't play on ESPN anymore and it's like kids in, I don't know, middle school or whatever. I don't know. 26.8% on. Let's walk through Philadelphia. Who are their wide receivers? Right now you have Alshon Jeffrey, who's
injured.
Already injured. DeSean Jackson, he's maybe going to play four games all year.
Yep.
Jalen Reagor, already injured.
JJ
Arcega White, JJ Arcega Whiteside, which I think can actually have a bounce back year. There's Hoose's boy, Greg Ward, which great, good for Greg Ward. I'm not 100% sold on him. What does that leave? Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Yes. Who was involved in the offense last year? Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Now, these two guys easily could see 100 targets and north this year. I firmly believe that. So if you're somebody that's sitting there, I don't care who your tight end is. Carry a second tight end if Dallas Goedert is available, because I guarantee you right now that guy is going to be as good or better than probably half the wide receivers that are on your team or any wide receiver that's probably even available on waivers right now. Like literally, once you get outside of your wide receiver three zone, Dallas Goedert's an upgrade over most of those guys, depending on how the draft and your roster construction is. But I'm telling you right now, if this guy is available, get him on your team. I don't care if you already own a tight end and you are one of those people that want to just run one tight end. I do, unless it's a deeper team or it's a tight end premium. And if you're in a tight end premium league and this guy's available, that's even more criminal. Go get Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, that's just crazy talk. Yeah, and I mean, I 100% agree with you. Like you got Antonio Gibson and Zach Moss on this whole entire list. And those are the only two guys I'd take over Dallas Goedert out of this whole entire list of people we've talked about.
I don't even know if I'd do that unless I needed serious running back help.
Yeah, it's, right. I mean, it just these guys, as we said, just criminally undervalued. These are guys that should be on a lot of your teams, or you should at least be looking to say, who can I put on my team that has potential to pop? And these guys are guys that have that potential to pop for you. The one thing I don't like about doing this show is we have to look in a crystal ball for week one. We don't know all the situations because we haven't seen anything in preseason like we have in years past. But these are just guys that we looked at and said, you know, these guys need to be on teams. There's no reason why. Dallas Goedert is a free agent in almost 75% of leagues. Insane. Just stupid. I don't care if you got Travis Kelce. Go pick up Dallas Goedert. Like, it's criminal that he's not owned. It's insane.
Some of these guys are the kind of guys that you get on your team, they pop weeks one and two, and you trade them high. And, yep. You know, you package it. Say you want to upgrade a running back. Say you want to upgrade a wide receiver. And somebody's like, oh, damn, I should have picked up Dallas Goedert. Oh, I should have picked up Hayden Hurst. And they popped off weeks one and two. Well, you package them with a running back or wide receiver and upgrade at that position if you're in a position to do so. You know, same thing with Antonio Gibson. Same thing with Zach Moss. You know, these are guys that could instantly change your roster, whether it's to stay on your roster or to move to bring somebody else to your roster, right? Because, again, you know, you look at the running back room of Washington. It's kind of open. It truly is. What has J.D. McKissic done to actually stay as the starting running back on any team?
He's had a couple good games in Seattle, but that's about it. He was 100% the pass-catching back in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And if I can use J.D. McKissic for 1 or 2 weeks, just not even starting him, but have him on my roster where he pops a little bit, and then I could package him with somebody, as you mentioned, to upgrade somebody, like, what have I lost? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And that's the thing. Like, any league that I didn't draft Antonio Gibson, because I was doing all my dynasty drafts really, really early, I was getting that guy at, like, the end of the third round, middle to end of the third round. And the minute that Adrian Peterson got released, the leagues that I didn't own him, he was going on every trading block. It was driving me nuts. It was just alert, alert, alert. Everybody's put Antonio Gibson on a trading block. And here we are, J.D. McKissic labeled the starter week one. So that's just kind of how you can, you know, work the hype, right, everybody? But you got to pay attention to stuff like that. And then Zach Moss, Mike, I'm upset with you speaking, you know, evil about Singletary. You know how I feel about Singletary, but I like Moss too.
Kevin Singletary, I just think Moss is the dominant back, man. He's going to be the guy that grinds it out. And I think it's going to be kind of like a 1-2 punch there. I think he'll be the guy that kind of comes in and cleans it up, Singletary, because he's awesome.
So Moss is a more powerful Singletary. I think he's just as good of a receiver. I think he's just as shifty and all that stuff. He just has the power element to him. And they're going to utilize those guys. They're both, in my opinion, going to be solid flex plays every single week. And if one of them goes down, they immediately go to like a low end RB2.
Yeah, absolutely. Correct.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and end it there. This was our very first live stream here doing the waiver show. Just a small little preview of what you can expect during the season. You'll have the three stooges, as I like to call us, during the season, me, Steve, and Mike.
Who's Curly though?
That'd have to be Dirty Jobs.
Cause I actually have hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I was going with it.
I've got a little bit going up here. This is more than I normally have. Okay.
You do have some. I thought that was
I got hair up there. It's a kind of a new look for me. I haven't had this much hair since middle school, to be honest. So
George is trying to look all sophisticated and everything.
I'm trying to look adultish.
Yeah, I'm adulting.
So, gentlemen, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Let's tell everybody where they can find us, even though if they can read, they can see our names at the bottom of the screen. Mike, we'll start with you, then we'll throw it to Steve, and then I'll close it out.
You can find me at DirtyJobs21 on Twitter, at DirtyJobs basically anywhere.
Same thing. If you look up on pretty much any platform at Aspect21, that's me. It doesn't matter if it's IG, Twitter, Sleeper,
Pornhub, it doesn't matter. It's Steve.
Definitely there.
And I'm BRT. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, I think I ran through the library during COVID here. But
yeah. and I'm BFTG Pod on Twitter. I'm BFTGEO on the Sleeper app. Again, want to thank everybody who stopped in, looked in, anybody who made a comment. If you have any questions, leave them. We'll answer them live on the show.
So with that said, for the audio, though, need to do some housekeeping.
Listen, if you're listening to the audio version, like, I highly recommend just watching the live version. It's so much better. You get to look at these three handsome guys. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Right, exactly. But no, like, honestly, though, go visit sleepaware.com/donate. You know, there's various levels that you can donate there. There's also the Patreon icon there. You can go there. That'll take you to our Patreon. There's different tiers that you can subscribe to. There's also free articles. Our guys have just been pumping out.
They've been killing it.
Ton of content. I mean, we kind of put this together a couple months ago, and these guys have absolutely just been killing it. And then, you know, go to Thrive Fantasy. We have a thing going on with them this year. You know, they are the fantasy app for prop bets. So go there, use promo code Sleepers, all caps, SLEEPERS. And with the first $20 you put in, you'll get 20 back from Thrive. You know, they launched in 2018. They've given away more than 1.4 million, and they have, you know, 50,000 in guaranteed prizes looking at week one already. So there's definitely some things there. But when you go there and you use that promo code, screenshot that and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com, because what that'll do is that'll automatically enter you into our listener league next year.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
All right. With that said, we'll see you next week.
Good luck, guys. Week one, baby.
Yeah.
It's almost here. Can't wait.